Blog Talk Radio.
Studios and another edition of the weekly video recap.
Consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
Everything has been.
I'm not the same. Everything was in vain. I close the torso tight and walk away.
But hey, enough of my yakking. What do you say? Let's boogie.
And that is my cue to start the show. Welcome to another edition of the Hard Rocket Sports Show, live from our top Hard Rocket Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey. We are your weekly three-hour get-together where we bring you all the biggest news from around the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, and, of course, the wide world of sports. And, guys, welcome to Thursday night, the 24th day of June. We are almost halfway through the year already. I don't know how to say this is a good year or a bad year, but better than last. So I'll say it's a good year. Hope you guys had a great week, the past week, and a good weekend. And I really hope you all guys, all the dads out there, got a chance to have a great Father's Day. I certainly did. I got to hang with my dad, my sons, my whole family. It was a great weekend. I hope you guys had one too. The weather's been absolutely phenomenal. I don't know how much longer it's going to last. But, guys, I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it's been a good week. Lots of stuff happening in the world of sports and music. Lots of concerts being announced. There's albums coming out. We've got tons of sports. We got hockey, basketball, all coming down to the nitty-gritty. We've got baseball, dead center. Lots of controversies in baseball, folks. And, of course, football is a few weeks away. Remember, August 5th, Jeff and I will be doing our fifth or sixth annual football training camp show. So hopefully you guys will tune in for that. But we're here every Thursday night. Make sure you come on back each week and join us. And tonight, guys, it's going to be a fun show. We got Sammy Lee, drummer for the band Red Rain. I just played their lyric video for Not That Way. I hope you guys enjoyed it. They're a great band and a good bunch of guys. So I'm looking forward to getting Sammy on with us about 7:45. In the meantime, Jeff and I got lots to talk about. We got some wrestling. We got football. We got sports news. We're going to talk about a little Kiss. I got a little KK Downing and Judas Priest. We got lots of stuff to get to. When I kick the mic up and I bring on the deacon himself, I don't know where he comes up with these things. One minute he's got all these crazy names for himself. I don't know what they mean. I don't know why he does it. I can't figure it out. I just honestly cannot figure out where all this stuff comes from. He has way too much time. He's way too much time on his hands. And the problem is he's about to, I think, get more time on his hands, and that's the scary part. So let's bring him on. Let's start figuring out what's on his mind this week. Because we got a lot to talk about and only 2.5 to 3 hours to do it. So let's bring on the backbone of the Hard Rocket Sports Show, my friend of 40 years and the sexiest guy on his side of the screen, Mr. Jeff Towinski. What's up there, Hefe? That's it? That's what you got?
For right now, yeah.
Well, let's get it started, Jeff. Let's start.
Anyway, I was about to say.
Oh, I'm sorry. My apologies.
I was so rudely interrupted.
My apologies.
I just want to go on record right now, before we go any further, and say that Robert Saleh, Coach of the Year, New York Jets, Team of the Year, Zach Wilson, Rookie of the Year, Gettleman, canned before halfway through the season, Barkley, no extension, will be let go, Jones will be on the fucking, like, the Kansas City Chiefs is the third stringer, and the whole team will be dismantled. I'm going on record now as saying the New York Giants will not win more than 3 games this year. I've spoken. The deacon has said what he needs to say. That's it.
That's it. You're done?
For right now, until I decide to interrupt. It could happen in the middle of the interview. I don't know when it's going to happen again. I have more to say, I'm not going to just sit back. It's just going to happen tonight.
That's it. You just let loose.
When I feel like it, yeah. When things are going, when there's a lull in the show, I'm just coming out of the woodwork, man. Just letting it happen.
You good?
Maybe. You're going to have to see.
All right. Well, we weren't in much
Joe
of a lull.
Judge is going to get Kansas coach, too.
Ah, I got you. Any other predictions you want to make that will go against your resume? Or what?
Go against my resume?
Yeah, your resume of your the best football analyst.
I was the only one that got shit right this year. Right?
Who won the Super Bowl?
The Buccaneers.
Okay. Done. You said the Chiefs, Tom Brady, he's the loser. Tough said.
It was the Israeli watch.
By the way, our numbers are down this week in Israel. We went from 9-6 or 9-7 to 9-3 this week.
That could be one person. But I'm not worried about Israel.
You're not worried about it. You brought it up. I figured you're worried about it.
I'm just going to say that as far as Tom Brady goes, your lips are so far up his ass that you're chewing his food for him.
I will tell you, I was on another show last night. I was invited on. And
yeah, I know. Thank you.
Nobody
even asked me, like, hey, you want to come on?
It was not my invitation. It was not my thing, not my show. Somebody reached out and said, we're doing a little a panel tonight. We'd love to have your input for a few minutes. So I joined in.
I watched it. Oh,
you did?
Yeah.
It was a fun little event, and I chimed in and stuck up for man Tom Brady. There's a lot of Tom Brady haters out there.
Yeah, and I was one of them under the guise.
Oh, you were under the guise?
Yes, I believe I said Tom Brady sucks.
I cannot see any comments from my screen, so I have no idea what was said and who was watching and all that good stuff.
And I said that you're missing something.
I was missing something,
mm-hmm.
Which was.
Well, you know what you were missing.
I have no idea. What was I missing?
Who you were missing.
Oh, I was missing my partner in crime.
Yeah, so it was an unsanctioned,
yes,
unsanctioned thing.
I'll
be on that show next week.
You will?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm
calling in.
I would like you to be part of that. That was it was a lot of fun. It was a good group of guys. And you would actually be perfect because it's right up your alley. It's a lot of Tom Brady hating and a lot of sports and music, and that'd be perfect for you. So yeah, I'd love for you to get involved in that one along with me. But we got our own show to worry about. And Jeff, we always start the show the same way, so I'm going to start it like I always do. Jeff, how was your week?
Do you know what that is?
I have no idea.
That is the model.
Oh yes, I forgot. That is the model. Yes.
Yeah, it tells me things.
Yes, it's talking.
You know what it's telling me now?
I have no idea.
That Tom Brady ain't going to make it through the rest of this year.
But that
was my week?
Yes, how was your week?
My week was very annoying.
Really?
Yeah, I still didn't hear a definite word one way or another what's going on with this fucking buyout.
Is there a deadline for this buyout?
Yeah, next Wednesday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, do you believe that this is a negotiating tactic by the city of New York, or is this just, I don't know, maybe not?
No, definitely not a negotiating thing because there's no contract right now. The contract ended, and there's not going to be a new contract negotiated because a new mayor is coming in.
Gotcha.
So the dickhead is not going to negotiate a contract.
Wow.
It makes no sense for him to do that.
No, it does not. It does not. But how does that now – wow, so I would think you've let yourself almost believe that you're near the end. Will you be disappointed if next Wednesday comes and goes with no offer and no signing of papers to get you out the door?
You may read about me in the paper that I'm swinging from a tree someplace. I cannot give you an honest answer and tell you that is not an option at this point.
Gotcha.
If this doesn't go through.
Understood. Well,
doesn't matter. There's a guy at work that I'm ready to kill.
Uh-huh.
And he now knows it, so he's been staying away from me. So that's actually a good thing.
Okay, so one good thing came out of it.
So every day I send my guys for breakfast for me.
Mm-hmm.
I give them money. I said, do me a favor, go get my breakfast. And this guy was blocking their way. So they were like, come on, man, you got to move the truck. And now this guy is a seasonal supervisor. And they're like, you got to move the truck so we can get through. So the guy's like, oh, you just got to wait a minute, wait. So he's like, all right, we're just going to tell Jeff that his breakfast is going to be late. This guy stopped what he was doing, jumped into the truck, and took off as fast as he could so that my guys could get through because he's scared shitless because I hate him so much, this guy.
Wow.
But that's another story for another day.
Well, listen, you know, whatever gets you through the day, and we're you know, well, obviously we're pulling for you on this end that you – you know, I'm kind of torn because, of course, as my dear friend of 40 years, I'd love to see you be able to kind of step back from a job you're not thrilled with and get your pension started and all that good stuff that goes with it. But then I have this fear. Do you know the fear I have?
No.
You, with way too much time on your hands and the devastation that will do to my cell phone and my day at work. So I only say that while I pray that you get what you wish for, there's a little speck behind me going, all right, what am I in for if he's got way too much time on his hands? Just saying.
First of all, it's not a matter of way too much time. I'm always coming up with things for the betterment of the show.
Here we go.
You would not agree that I send you out different things and topics and questions and stuff like that.
In the past, I haven't seen much in the last couple of weeks and months. It's been a little slow on your end, but all right. I know football season's coming. And
be prepared. Okay. It's coming.
Okay. I would say it's been a little slower than usual. Usually I get a couple of weeks where I put this in there, drop this in, we're going to talk about this. It's been a little slow, but that's okay. I know you've been doing a lot of stuff around the house.
I got to be honest with you. It has been a little slow, yes, because I figured is that you would like maybe would have wanted to, you know, pick up where I left off and, you know, put a little bit shoulder, a little bit more responsibility on finding topics. But I see as though that my bumper crop has not taken, so I must continue farming.
Yes, that's what the problem is. I don't spend enough time reading 4 newspapers and 6 websites a night searching for good topics that we can talk about. You're right. I'll have to step my game up a little bit.
The topics are easy. The research is another story. I'll give you that much.
No, topics are tough. It's not the research. The research is just reading the newspaper. The topics are the tough part. What's interesting? How do we shape it into what we do here? That's the tough part. You know, this I can go on Blabbermouth and find 75 stories. What's interesting?
Yeah, but 74 of them are about K.K. Downing, and nobody gives a fuck.
Well, that's the point. So it's hard to go in there and say, okay, that's going to be an interesting topic. That's not an interesting topic. That's interesting, but we can't really talk about it because there's no meat to it. So that's the tough part for me each week going through. I read the newspaper every day. I am on Bleacher Report, ESPN, Pro Football Talk, or you know, you name it. I'm surfing it. So, but that's not what we're talking about. We have a fun show tonight. Open the show today with a video for the band Red Rain. Not That Way. The new lyric video on a great tune from the band, and I'm looking forward to having our friend Sammy Lee back. Sammy Lee's the drummer for the band, and he'll be joining us about 7:45. And again, by the way, thanks to the people at RFO Records and Barstools and Band Talk podcast for asking me last minute to get on the show and have a little fun with that. Maybe next time Jeff will be available and we'll get him on there with us, and we'll have a little more advance notice.
Nobody even asked Jeff if he was available.
It was a last minute thing. They, you know, they talk about it, they're going to do it, and then like the last minute, I got are you available? We're going to do this, and I say, yeah, I got nothing going on. I'll jump right on. So. We didn't even have any topics, you know. So
you know what Jeff was doing?
What was Jeff doing?
Jeff was standing there looking in the window like the fat kid looking in the bakery window when all the other kids went in to get a cupcake and he missed out. And he's just looking, watching everybody else.
You would enjoy it. It was a good show, and it was the topics were fun. You know, again, a couple I liked, a couple I didn't, but then it was a good time.
What's the idea? Let's pretend. Let's go back in time to that show, and you're on that show.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're not you.
Who am I?
You're the one that was announcing the topic. So let's announce some of the topics, and let's see how I would have fared real quickly. I'll give you a quick synopsis of what I would have brought to the table on each one of the topics that you can remember.
Okay, we started out talk with the RFL guys about their bands and what was going on with Lower Line, one of the new bands, reached number 33 or number 38 on the Billboard charts.
Okay, so now the name of the band was Lower Line?
Lower Line, yes.
Real easy. Okay, the New York Giants have showed that they're going to be below the lowest line, lower line, of any other team in the NFL once the season starts. All right, go on to the next subject, please.
Okay, then we'll talk about overrated and underrated bands.
Oh, underrated and overrated teams. I'm saying right off the bat, the Giants have an overrated GM, coach, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and rookie class, as well as overall team. Nothing underrated about the Giants. Next subject, please.
Mr. Blutowski. 0.0.
I'm waiting for the next subject.
Do I even bother? I mean, you're obviously not listening. It wasn't overrated or underrated teams. It was a band. Yeah, it was overrated bands.
Okay, but I'm just showing you one last one.
Okay, we also talked about the Islanders series against the Tampa Bay Lightning and Montreal's series against the Golden Knights. That's correct. We talked about that a little bit. That was kind of where I jumped in to the fray.
Okay, so what I would have brought there would have been Super Bowl III. And how Joe Namath and the New York Jets calmly ended up beating the Baltimore Colts, who were 18-point favorites. See how I would have handled all that?
I see you're a master. You're a master.
I got to admit, I am. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm going with that one.
Yeah. You got that. No wonder we don't get invited to too many things.
Well, listen, people don't want to hear the truth, I guess.
I guess
that's
so.
Okay. I'm glad that you had fun.
There was a few minutes.
You look very happy on the show last night.
Well, you know what? I tell you what. Here was the fun part for me. The fun part was not having
responsibility.
Yeah, you just kind of hung out, and you know, if I got bored or I had to go, I could have just said, "Guys, I'm good, I'm done." But I enjoyed it, and it was a few laughs and. It was just a calm. There was no pressure on me. I just said what I had to say and moved on. The one topic I thought that they kind of threw at me, which I was happy about, was the males competing in women's sports, which I think is a no-brainer.
Please, come on now.
Yeah.
I can't even believe that anybody's actually discussing this.
I agree. Listen, I agree. No, I agree. Now there's more and more states coming out there and banning this from happening, which I think is a really good thing. And I just don't understand why it even has to be banned at this point. You know what it reminds me of? And I hope, I don't know if you paid attention to it, that there's a defensive lineman for the Raiders who came out this week and announced.
Yes,
so go ahead.
We can talk about that for a second. I want you to stay on the transgender thing only because there's something I want to add to it.
Go ahead. Go for that. Go ahead.
You know, with all of these people wanting to put the transgender athletes, transgender men to women against women, let me ask you something. What happens when you get to certain sports? Let's take women's boxing.
Okay.
For example, okay? Are you going to put a transgendered man to woman into a woman's boxing match? Okay, if you're willing to do it in certain other sports, I don't even, tennis, gymnastics, whatever, what happens when the first transgendered boxer decides that, you know what, I want to go for the women's heavyweight title?
Fantastic.
And you know, you got somebody that's 6'2", 6'3", and 250 pounds and just like oozes manliness because that's what they really want.
Mm-hmm.
And just because he had a set of juggernauts put in, you're going to allow this person to box against a woman? You know, I'm kind of, not that I want to see it, I'm just kind of curious to see how that's going to be held, taken care of, not held, how that's going to be taken care of, because sooner or later it's going to happen.
Oh.
There's going to be such a mismatch that somebody's going to try to take advantage of. And I just think that that's where it gets beyond wrong.
Jeff, I couldn't agree more. I think there's a lot of ways that this can go and go wrong. I think, I think it's an unfair advantage to allow a biological male to face him. Now, again, I'm not being sexist, Jeff. I don't want people to think. I think that women have become the female athlete has progressed greatly now, and there's some amazing athletes, but there is a difference between a male athlete and a female athlete. And if people don't believe that, I'm sorry. You're not going to tell me that the best soccer player, female soccer player, is going to be able to compete with the male. They'll be on the field, but I just don't see it. Same thing in hockey.
How about this? Muhammad Ali's daughter was a boxer.
Yes.
Okay. Let's just say hypothetical here. I'll give you two names: Mike Tyson, okay, who was like a bull, and Lennox Lewis, who was huge.
Yeah.
Okay. Either one of, if not both, whatever, decides that they want to become a woman and fight for the women's heavyweight championship in boxing.
Okay.
How do you put that woman, how do you knowingly put that person, I'm not going to say woman, that person in the ring against a woman, because now they identify as a woman, had a sex change, and have the man-made organs of a woman done to their body. How do you let that happen?
I don't think you can.
Imagine that. Would that be considered a crime?
I guess. Here's the one. And I agree totally with you on this. But here, let me ask you from the other direction. Let's say you have a female athlete who's transgendering to be a male. Should that person be allowed to compete in male sports? You pick and choose? To me, it's either yes or no for both. Like, you can't say, well, if you want to transgender as a male from a woman, you can compete because you're probably, you'll be okay. But if you're a male, you can't trans. To me, it's no different. I think you got to set those rules and you compete. As you're born biologically. That's my opinion. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. People can do whatever they want with their lives. I'm all for it. I just say, keep your things on the even playing field.
I agree. Ally Afraidy, I believe, hit 115 or 105, something like that, on a slap shot during the skills competition of the NHL All-Star Weekend a few years back, probably almost 20 years back at this point in time.
Probably, yeah.
Do you want to be a female goalie in front of 115-mile, I'm going to split the difference, 110-mile-an-hour slap shot? I know as a man, and I know an older man at this point in time, I would not want to be in any kind of hockey gear in front of Ally Afraidy with a clear shot and him lining up to take a fucking shot that may take my head off if it hits the wrong spot. Much less a woman who may be half your size. And like you said, it's the thought that you got to think of what these people are getting themselves into.
Yeah.
And would you want some 330-pound guy pushing you off for a block because you want to be in the NFL and be a safety, and here you come trying to make a tackle, and here comes this pissed-off offensive tackle that somebody stepped on his foot with a cleat, and he sees you coming. Do you want that? I know I wouldn't.
Yeah, I don't know why. Listen, I obviously think that things have progressed in our world where there's a level playing field for a lot of things. I think there shouldn't be a disparity. If two people do the same job, whether they're man or woman, they should be in the same line for equal pay. And I think sports, they talked about it. They talked about it for a long time. The women's soccer players, couldn't make money, blah, 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 blah. But they didn't. While they were great players, they won games. People didn't watch. So you pay the male because people watch the men play. I used to like the women. I won't watch them ever again. But I used to love to watch the women's soccer team. I think they were great players, and it was a lot of fun, but it was equal playing field. You take that team and put them against the men, and they're going to lose. No doubt.
Yeah, listen, I hear you. One time they made the analogy, and then I want to get on to the football player that recently came out.
Mm-hmm.
When the Detroit Lions were going 0-16 Okay, somebody said, would the best college football team be able to beat the Detroit Lions, who are on their way to 0-16? And the person that was asked of, you know, it was like one of those, the writer fielded a bunch of questions from everybody. So that particular writer wrote, he was like, there is no way under the sun that any college team is going to beat any pro team, no matter how bad they are. The pro team will just eat them alive because they're just that. They're a professional team. So no matter how bad they are and no matter how good the college team is, college team just not going to be able to adapt and take on the pro team. So, you know, you say about the men athletes and women athletes, it kind of goes the same way.
Yeah.
You know, men's soccer players, they're going to be a little faster, a lot stronger, maybe have more stamina. They have bigger chests. They could hold more air. They could go more. They'll have more endurance. I think overall that the women may be great athletes, but I think overall I don't think that they would be able to really hang much with the men. That's just my thought of it.
I won't argue it again. I think you can't do one without the other. So to me, you compete as per your biological how you were born, and that's it. I'm not trying to knock anybody. I just think it would be unfair to especially to women. I'm sorry. I'll say it. It's unfair to women to have men competing in their sport. Guys who aren't good enough to play in a men's sport. I think that would be atrocious. So again, guys, Hard Rock Sports, Chef and Thomas sitting here on a Thursday night. It's a beautiful night outside. I hope you guys have had a great week. I hope your Father's Day was good. And again, speaking of fathers, just so everybody knows, my dad will not be appearing tonight on the show. My dad is out in California. Just flew out there today with my mom to visit my brother and his family. So if you're looking for my dad, some people actually do, he will not be joining us tonight. He'll be back next Thursday night, I'm sure, with lots to talk about because there's plenty to talk about in sports right now. So, but I did want to talk on Carl Nassib. Carl Nassib is a defensive end. I think he went to Penn State. I know the other brother was a quarterback, went to Syracuse, actually wound up with the Giants for a cup of coffee, and I don't think he's in the league anymore. But Carl Nassib is kind of a few years in the NFL, and felt the need to come out this week, I guess this is Gay Pride Month, and state the fact that he's an openly gay man playing professional football. And I think, Jeff, you know what? I'm kind of hoping at some point that this isn't a news story anymore. Not to say who cares, but whatever they do, you do. I think the days of the Neanderthal thinking in an NFL locker room are over. But let me ask you the question: do you think there's enough people in his locker room who might actually feel uncomfortable with him there now?
Unfortunately, I think that there's always going to be that thought that, you know, are they looking at me strange, or, you know, is he looking at me strange, kind of both ways. I'm posing that question both ways. Does the player who came out, is he going to be like, you know, everybody's looking at me and mocking me, and then the teammates, are they going to be like, they don't want to do certain activities because is he going to be looking at me, this, that, and the other thing? I also think at this point in time, you want to make a quick story of it and be like, listen, I just want to let everybody know that I'm openly gay and I'm coming out and I'm going to be playing NFL in the NFL as a defensive lineman for the Las Vegas Raiders. And I'm really excited about playing football this year. Enough about me. I want to talk about my team and the football. That's it.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But I seen a couple articles here and there, and, you know, of course they're always going to be planting the seeds because right away, some people be like, well, there's going to be some teammates that are going to say, well, I feel awkward in front of him, or is he looking at me? Is he whatever?
Right.
So I think that the sooner it dies, the sooner it would be best for everybody, I feel. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you. Nothing against him, nothing against what he did or his mindset, because unless he's trying to convert people, he should be able to do whatever he wants. That's his business.
Sure.
But just, you know, you said what you had to say. You did what you had to do. Okay. I don't think that this man coming out of the closet, I don't know much about him as the player.
Yeah, average player, nothing.
I don't see this prolonging his career. know, was there somebody whose career was almost over? Now they're like, well, we can't cut him now. We got to keep him because he just came out. Imagine if we cut him, what this is going to look like.
And no, that happened to the kid. That kid came out a few years ago, right out of the draft. They made the Sam something, or I can't think of his name right now.
He played out of Missouri, but
yeah.
He was also a seventh round pick.
Though. Yeah, and he, again, you know, he came out and he got drafted, but he didn't. I don't think he played any games in the NFL. I think those days are over. I think guys are just going to be judged for their merit and their abilities. And again, I applaud him. And Jeff, you know, here's a guy who's an average football player on a mediocre team. His jersey was the number one jersey seller of this week.
Well, listen, I'm sure that we know why.
Sure.
You know, that jersey jumped up. But
sure.
Listen, it is what it is.
Absolutely.
And unfortunately, I just hope that him doing what he did and saying what he said is not taken and the torch picked up in the wrong direction.
Okay.
For this and made a bigger thing throughout the season and just another rally cry for everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. No. I can't argue that at all. Yeah. So again, good job. Good luck to you know, call Nassib. I wish him a good career. And if he felt the need to come out and declare himself gay, then good for him. And you know, hopefully this is hopefully we're getting to a point where this stuff just doesn't matter. Like, it just, who cares? You know, I just can't think there's ever going to be a press conference and, you know, some guy's going to come out of high time, out of college. I just want to declare that I love to bang women. Like, you know, whatever. I don't care what you do.
Well, you know what? It's funny you should say that.
Yeah.
Okay. Because one day that may actually be somebody coming out because this may turn into something further on down the line where, you know what, this is important, what is your orientation? It really doesn't matter. I don't care. I'm not into sexual relationships or you know, who knows what somebody's going to say. That maybe it gets to the point where I bang women. Oh man, look at this guy's fucking straight. That's something different. We haven't heard that in weeks. You know, it's, who knows?
Yeah.
But it's unfortunate. It's, once again, life of a label.
That's it. Yeah, and that's the problem. Far too much. It's on the left. Everybody wants to put a label on people. Who cares? The only label we have here is we are the Hard Rockin' Sports Show. We're here every Thursday night, 7 to 9:30, having a good time, talking sports, talking music, talking life. We're having a good time, Jeff and Tom. We're glad you guys are joining us this week. And, we got some big stuff coming up down the line. But the biggest thing for me, August the 5th, Jeff and I get to do our annual NFL training camp preview show. We'll run through all the teams. We'll come up with the biggest news stories. We'll come up with some predictions, and we'll have some fun talking football for the entire show. So, and if you're out there and you're a football fan and you want to chime in and give us a little breakdown of your team, come on in. Let me know. Let Jeff know. One of us will get you hooked up, and we can take up about 7 or 8 teams. So if you're interested and you want to join in, by all means, check it out. Who knows? Maybe we'll get Frank and Matt on. We haven't had them on since the draft, so we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah.
But let's see what else we want to get to right now. Before you know, do you know how Adrian Adonis died? So it's a very weird topic. I get it. I didn't know he was dead, and B, when I researched how he died, it was kind of very Hard Rockin' Sports-ish. I'll explain why if you don't know.
I read about it once before, but I totally forgot about it. I think he was he shot?
No.
Was it a car accident?
Correct.
Car accident.
Correct.
Yes.
So the Adrian Adonis and three other wrestlers were traveling. These were guys wrestling against each other. It was his partner against another tag team. And the guy who was driving had to swerve out of the way of a moose to avoid the moose and went into a ditch. And three of the wrestlers, I believe, died. And the driver himself lived with serious injuries. So the funny part, not I'll say it's funny, but it was 1988, which was a long time ago. And I did not realize that Adrian Adonis was gone in 1988.
I remember when he died.
Really?
Yeah.
I do not remember that. I don't remember it being part of the wrestling. I do not remember that being part of all of that. So I just want to check the date. Yeah, July 4th, 1988, coming up on, 31 years ago he's passed. That's amazing to me that he was gone. I remember
more than 31 years, Tom. More than 31 years.
No, so 30 years would be in 33 years. Sorry, 33 years.
Yeah.
33 years. You're right. Okay. So,
And how old was he when he died?
35, I believe.
Shit. So you're talking this guy's been gone almost as long as he was alive.
Yeah, 35 years old that would have been when he passed away. So,
wow.
Yeah, it just was weird. Like I said, I remember I was still watching wrestling at that point, and I do not have any recollection of Adrian Adonis passing away. And I've been on a major kick. And here's the thing, and I'm killing a little time here. I don't want to go to any of the major topics. I want to talk to you definitely about the Major League Baseball right now with the pitching inspections. I want to get into a lot of that stuff tonight. I have a lot of other Mr. Wonderful I want to get to, the Nets, the Islanders, paying college athletes, a couple other things I want to get to tonight. But what I want to talk about this moment is I didn't realize, like I must have forgotten so much of the wrestling from that era, what happened. And, you know, I thought after WrestleMania 3 that Andre the Giant was done. And it was far from it. He actually won the title. I think we talked about it a little bit last week. He actually won the title in a main event in January of 89 and then handed the title to Ted DiBiase, which started a whole other thing. I forgot all of this stuff. Like, I forgot that he did that, that he was still part of it. And right up until just before he died, he was actually – he interfered in a match between the Big Boss Man, who I guess was the babyface, against Virgil, who had, I think it just, or was about to turn on Ted DiBiase.
Oh, I remember Virgil did turn on Ted DiBiase, but I never remember the Big Boss Man being a face.
Yeah.
And, write this down real quick, because I saw this last night, and I wanted to send it to you, and I didn't. I wanted to go over Ted DiBiase's final match in the WWF. I saw it last night, and it was actually pretty pretty cool. It had me got a pretty big smile from watching it, only because when we touch base on it, you'll understand.
Where did you catch this on YouTube?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I get stuff like that all the time. But I told you I got the Peacock Network on my TV, so I go to the app and I can pop in and watch all these great old wrestling, the Saturday Night Main Events. I believe the Andre Hogan one was the very first ever Saturday Night Main Event.
That is possible.
I believe I read that somewhere. I did not see that when I watched it. I again, there was a lot of stuff that went on that time, and guys who were wrestling with and for and against each other, I did not know. So, and just one other thing, I've been watching these Sunday nights. A&E has the Lost Treasures. This week was Ric Flair going around the country trying to collect some of his old stuff. And I told you, Jeff, I'm telling you, if you get a chance, A&E On Demand, and there's like 9 episodes. My favorite one was the Andre the Giant one, where they had Mark Henry and The Big Show teaming up, and they were, and Mark Henry was actually crying every time they went and found the mask that Andre wore when he was the Giant Machine, which I totally forgot about. I did not even remember the Giant Machines.
You don't remember that?
I don't.
Bobby Heenan.
Yes.
And whoever was his tag team at the time
mm-hmm.
said that there were no ever in the history of the world 7-foot Japanese people.
The best part, the funniest part is they got Andre sitting there and he was trying to talk in Japanese.
Yeah,
and they're going, I know that's Andre the Giant, and the announcer's going, I don't think that's Andre the Giant. Andre is suspended. He can't be in wrestling right now. Meanwhile, he was, I think, had some injuries and stuff, and he was away. And it was, to me, going back now, is absolutely the funniest thing of all time.
Dude, you have no idea, man. Some of the shit that they put on there was fucking beyond hysterical. I was crying just reading the article about it, because they were like, first of all, he's the biggest Japanese man in the world. Plus, he's the only Japanese man in the history of the planet to talk with a French accent. It was so great.
It really was. And they did that. They went around. They went to find the mask. They found his passport. And the funny part, they kept showing this clip of him trying to get into, like, today would be a smart car. And they're showing him trying to get into a smart car and how he can't get in. And Greg the Hammer Valentine was telling a funny story how they were trying to catch a cab in Japan, and they saw Andre, and they wouldn't pull over. So they made Andre hide in the back, and they waved the cab down. And as Andre came out, the cab tried to get away, and Andre lifted the cab up. Someone let the guy drive away.
Oh, wow.
And it's funny because they showed where he was buried. He was cremated. It was 12 pounds of ash.
Wow.
And then they drove. He had his own ranch in North Carolina, and they went on horseback, and they sprinkled the ashes, and they let Mark Henry go out there with a shovel and take a scoop of ashes, you know, from the area. It was really a cool thing, I'm telling you. The nine episodes were some things as a wrestling fan helped me remember a lot of things I forgot, and got a lot of backstories on things. So I'm telling you, I know you don't watch a lot of TV, but if you get some downtime, A&E, In Demand, the WWE Lost Treasures. And
I'm gonna check it out.
They're going to be opening up a WWE museum in Connecticut.
Oh,
so
really?
That's going to have to be a trip we make.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's going to have to be a trip that you and I make up to Stamford, Connecticut to walk that museum, because I think that will be a big piece of history.
Any idea when that's going to happen?
I don't know. It's got to be close because they've been collecting all this stuff, and you know, it's amazing. Like some of the things that they found, and people wouldn't give it back. Some people were selling it. It was extremely an interesting thing. The biographies were good, but the Lost Treasures was my favorite. It's an hour long, most of them. I think the Andre one was 2 hours, or the Flair one was 2 hours. I'm not sure. But the rest of them were basically an hour, and they'd have different people either going to get their own stuff or somebody going to get other people's stuff. It was a lot of fun and a lot of backstories, which is obviously very cool. So if you get a chance, guys.
Some of them are very cool when you find out, like, certain things, why they happen.
Yeah.
And everything else. But, you know, the old-time wrestling is just, you find more and more about it. I think it's becoming a hot topic.
Oh, it is. I'm telling you. At this point. Yeah. I mean, you and I have to be in at least three or four of those old wrestling chats. You know, those. Yeah, I got to be at least three or four. And there's always the only topics, and I see our guest is on. I'm going to get him on in half a second. The only ones I don't get into when they bring it up, Jeff, and I don't know how you feel when they go, Roddy Piper versus Mr. Wonderful. Who you got? Like, I'm not going to sit there and talk about who would have won in a match that somebody down back then was going to predetermine. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I don't get involved in any of that stuff. Do you find any of those topics to be kind of like, oh, please, come on?
No, because you know why? I think that you can't just turn around and take it as a hypothetical conversation and turn around and you yourself say, well, you know what? I think that Mr. Wonderful, who was built like a brick shithouse, would have beat the shit out of Roddy Piper.
Right.
Because as soon as you say, well, I think that Mr. Wonderful would have won the match. I mean, he had a physique, he had a build, he had stamina. And then the next guy answers, you're a fucking idiot and you have no idea what you're fucking talking about. Your mother sucks cock and, you know, the court authority, stuff like that. And they'd be like, whoa, what the fuck? You know, I'm just saying a match that can never happen. Now, one guy's dead. The other guy looks like he's got the brains of a fucking dinner napkin.
Yeah.
And you're going to really abuse me because this is what I thought.
Yeah, that's where they lose when they put up the old matches or they give you some behind the scenes stuff. I love them all. I think it's great. I can watch it all day long, listen to it all day long. But when you get into those,
it's very cool. Yeah, without a doubt. You know, but like you said, it is what it is. Come on, man. We're too old to be sitting there arguing over this. You know, well, Roddy Piper had long hair, so that means he's going to win. Get the fuck out of here.
On Rockets Boards, Jeff and Tom hanging out Thursday night. We're going to bring up our guest. We played.
Remember to put the 10 to the
I did. Like, I got it on the front of my sheet now, so we can bring it right up. But guys, let's bring on we played this video for the band along with Bobber and Stevie and Gary. Sammy's the drummer, and Red Rain has got some new stuff out. So let's hear it directly from the horse's mouth. We bring on our good friend Sammy Lee, drummer for the band Red Rain. Sammy, what's up, brother?
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing? Can you hear me?
Absolutely, loud and clear.
Good.
Sammy, it's been a long time, my friend. It's been a long time.
It has been a long time. By the way, to go back, I was listening to you guys. I like the biography on the record.
Oh, absolutely.
I thought those, I mean, I watched the Treasure stuff, but I thought the biographies were great. But that's my two cents.
No, we talked about it. Yeah, Jeff.
Real quick, I hear you about the biographies, but you know why I don't like to watch the biographies? These are guys, I'd imagine you're probably within our age bracket, right, around 50?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
I was a Four Horsemen fan.
Okay, so you know about these guys for years and years and years, and then all of a sudden you hear something like, you know, this guy was a crackhead or this guy beat his kids, and then all of a sudden your whole perception of this person changed when you thought of him from one way for all of these years. So certain of those biographies I'm not a big fan on, because I'd rather just remember these people the way that we knew them and not all of a sudden find out new stuff that was dug up about them. But they could be cool. They could be cool.
Yeah.
So here would be my question on that. And I agree with you. You find out the dirt that you don't want to know, but do you not like biographies in general, like musicians? Because you can find the same stuff about those guys as well. Is that the wrestling thing?
You can, but you know what? I think wrestling had its own aura. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
So sometimes when I want to go back, I want to clear my head or something, I could think of that stuff. I remember watching it with my grandmother and, you know, like, oh, who's going to win? Meanwhile, like, we already know who's going to win. Like, you know, who was the bad guy? Who was the guy that never wins a match? And maybe this guy wins this week, you know? And then you find out, well, you know, he was on a $400 a day coke habit. You know, he didn't see his daughter for fucking 15 years. And it's the things you don't want to know. And it's like, he had a great career, but he just threw it away because he didn't give a shit. And it's like, you know,
I mean,
we watch that stuff. We got up every Saturday or stayed up late every week to watch that. And then you find out the guy was basically a jerk off. So, you know.
That's a good point.
No, but I'll disagree. Now, there are two sets of biographies. There's the Dark Side of the Ring stuff, which I would suggest if you don't like negative stuff on the wrestlers or anybody, because they have football now too, don't watch it because it's 90% of it's on the negative side. The A&E biographies, I think, are on the opposite end of that. I think a lot of it's very positive. They kind of gloss over a lot of the negative and just stand up, tell you about it, but they kind of gloss over it. The thing I like about it, and not to belabor this because I want to get to Sammy stuff, but I like about it is you get a lot of backstories, like the Montreal Screwjob and, you know, Bret Hart punching Vince McMahon, knocked him out cold. You know, stuff like I had never heard when I was, you know, watching it as a kid, because there's no internet. Unless unless they announce it on the show or you got it in a magazine, which I didn't really read much wrestling magazines, you didn't find out a lot about this stuff. So that's why I like the A&E biographies. I agree with you. I thought they did a really nice job with those. So, but Sammy, speaking of biographies, let's talk about Red Rain and your biography. You guys got some great music out. We haven't talked to you in a very long time. So let me go back one step. One thing that I wanted to talk to you about back in October was the passing of Eddie Van Halen. And I know that you're a huge Van Halen fan. I do want to get your take on the passing of Eddie. What made you a Van Halen fan? I do want to have that opportunity to have, because I know you're such a big fan.
Sure. So, I heard Van Halen for the first time when I was 10 years old. And I remember it clear as day. I was at a buddy of mine's house. And before that, I will tell you, my favorite band was the Jackson 5. I was a Jackson 5 fan. I listened to radio, listened to some rock and roll. But I went to a buddy's house, and he said, you've got to listen to this album. And he put on, the first song was Run With the Devil. You hear the horns and... You know, and it changed my life. It Van Halen to me was an attitude. It was gritty. It was dirty. And then when you finally saw a picture, you had these long-haired guys. It changed my life. It made me more confident as a child. And I know that's kind of funny, but it just did. And from that day on, at the age of 10, I went home and I got my parents to buy me and the album. So I bought Van Halen 1, and then the albums came out, I bought more and more. And all through high school, the only thing I listened to, I didn't listen to radio because that's all we had. I listened to Van Halen every single day for 7 years straight.
Wow.
And it was just, it was a game changer for me. So And believe it or not, being a drummer, so two things is Alex got me into drums because I saw the first video and he's pounding away at that huge monster drum set. But I was a David Lee Roth fan because of his swagger, the way he carried himself. I mean, David Lee Roth was the shit. That's just the way it was, man.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. Whether you like David Lee Roth as a singer, and I there's a lot of people who questioned Dave's ability as a singer, even in his heyday. Dave was one of the best frontmen of all time. I mean, there's no choice about
it. Easily.
That. Yeah.
Easily. And listen, that's a hard thing. I mean, sure. you go with Mick Jagger. Is it Roger Daltrey? So on. Is it Freddie Mercury? And they're all great.
Yeah.
But, and Steven Tyler. But I'll tell you, in all the years, every Van Halen concert I've been to, and even to the last 2015, Dave was never a great singer.
No.
And there were some albums where he sounded great, but I can tell you, at his age, at the last concert, he still commanded everybody watching him. He walked to this side of the stage, heads turned to that side. He walked to this side of the stage, heads turned to that side. He's a presence, and that's some of the battle of being a band. It's not just standing on stage and playing music, because I've seen other bands do that were – some of the greatest bands in the world. I said it once before. I saw The Police live in concert.
Right.
One of the greatest bands. I mean, yeah. Musically and Sting and Stork, the most boring band I've ever seen on stage. Just boring.
Yeah, Jeff. Jeff. Let me get Jeff involved. Jeff, what do you think can a singer who's not necessarily great compensate and make an audience forget that by being a great front guy?
Look at Black Sabbath. Ozzy wasn't the greatest singer, and the guys in Black Sabbath alone, we went to go see them. They came out on stage, stood in one spot, and just turned around and played like nobody's business. Mm. And then there's bands like Motley Crue and Poison that put on humongous stage shows and are running all over the place. And to me, they have trouble playing their own instruments. And it's like, why do you want to hear a whole concert of songs that sound the same? So, you know, David Lee Roth, yes, he captured people's attention, but it was also something that people wanted for years. They wanted to see a Van Halen reunion with the original band.
Yeah.
So I think that if Eddie was still alive and they said, we're going to do it again, and they were closing in on 70, people still would have went to go see them because it was the original Van Halen.
Yeah.
You know, it's at this point in time, I'm sure we can all agree, all of our favorite bands, these are bands that are either on their way out, already out, or these guys could die at almost any minute. So if a Judas Priest reunion was to happen, or a Black Sabbath reunion, or the original Maiden, we're going to get excited. You're going to want to see it because it'll never happen again.
Yeah, nostalgia.
At this point in time.
That's the point. It's funny because I was talking to somebody else about it, and look, being a huge Roth fan, we all know Roth wasn't the greatest of singers. We know that. But I mean, if you go back and look at the things that he did, like, and of course it's original, but, and look, Sammy's a great singer. Sammy Hagar was a great singer.
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't like the band because he took David Lee's spot, and that was it. But could Sammy have sung Unchained and made it dirty and gritty like David Lee Roth? That's how I look at it, number one. Yeah, and number two is, it's funny because last night I was doing some work in my computer and I tail off, and I started watching some old videos. And the 2007 first reunion of Van Halen, Dave still sounded somewhat pretty good. He kind of tailed off from that point on. But I always contain this anyway. It didn't matter how good of a singer he is, and Jeff, you touched on this, to see Eddie and Dave stand on stage for the first time, and I was at the very first reunion show. The very first reunion show was in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I got tickets, and I drove down to see them on stage, and I was a lot older. When that curtain dropped, I had chills all over my body. It wasn't even the music, and then, of course, the music's great, but to see those two standing side by side, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. It just doesn't for me. I mean, so I like the original. They may have lost the ability to entertain, or maybe lost a little bit of ability to play the instrument, but nothing beats the original.
No, but you know, I don't think it's that they would lose their ability to entertain, because to me, and you guys had mentioned it earlier, David Lee Roth live was never really able to sing, even when in his heyday. I didn't think he was a great singer. He was a good performer. There is a difference.
Right.
Okay? So to me, I don't think you're losing anything there. And the videos that I saw, like you said, he was getting into it. He's getting the crowd moving and everything else. And at that point in time, is there anything more important than seeing David Lee Roth and Eddie Van Halen together at that moment in time when you're at that concert? Right now,
no,
we will never see that again. You'll never see the original members of Van Halen up there ever again.
No.
I can't ever see it happening.
No.
Even if just the three of them with a replacement, I don't see it.
No. You might see
But I will say.
Good. Go ahead.
What I was going to touch on is, you're right. I mean, we've all saying the same thing about David Lee Roth's voice, but you mentioned Ozzy. Ozzy's not the greatest singer, but it's a unique voice. They've had a unique voice. Wasn't great. Doesn't mean he's a great singer. He was not Freddie Mercury. He's not, you know, but it was unique. And again, I say to everybody who kind of makes fun of me, like, you can't sing, like, let me tell you something. I see cover bands trying to emulate David Lee Roth, and they can't. So there's something there that worked. And again, I was explaining this. It's just the difference between Van Halen and Van Hagar. One was a rock band that was a little peppier. One was a dirty, gritty, nasty rock and
roll. I was just going to say the same thing. Yeah, that's the difference. When Sammy came on, which I didn't expect at the time, and I loved the idea. I thought it was going to be an even better band. And I saw them live only with Sammy, and it was such a letdown. They were terrible. But you're right. It's a much different band. And the difference was they were pure rock and roll, dirt, grit, you know, in your face. And that's what made Van Halen. And it was that way again when Sammy came back, because David came back, because Sammy could never portray that in his music.
No.
So, but
it's a presence. And I'll finish what you asked me. So with the death of Eddie Van Halen, because I think we kind of tailed off. That was it. It was a stab to the heart. Being in a band, in the band that we're in, and some of our some of our team behind the scenes, you know, kind of gave me a little insight that Eddie wasn't going to make it. I had a slight insight before it happened that he was really, really sick and wasn't going to make it. But it doesn't make it any different. And so you feel like a part of your childhood is gone.
Yeah.
And that's how I felt. And there's never, I just don't feel like there's never going to be, and look, there's so many great guitar players, but it's just, I mean, that kind of guy is gone.
Yeah. Well, he was a game changer. You know, I would say I was never a Jimi Hendrix fan, but Hendrix, Van Halen, and Randy Rose, they changed the game. They did things for people weren't doing at the time. Now guys have expanded on it, maybe made it better. But there aren't innovators today the way you see that. Not that I've seen. So I think that's the thing we miss with guys like Eddie.
And the last thing is you know, today, you know, I get people send me videos all the time, which I love, these kids playing Eruption.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. But let's not kid ourselves. Eruption came out, and probably 5 years after, nobody knew what the hell he was playing. And now it's all tablature. And
yes.
It's all out. I mean, I think I saw an interview where Eddie said if somebody had put in a tablature, you know, the tablature of a Russian front, you wouldn't know what it was.
Uh-huh.
So, but it's going to be, it's a big loss, but you know what? But we always have his music, and that'll be great. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, that's Sammy Lee. He's a drummer for Red Rain. He's here to talk about his music now. He's talking with Jeff and myself. And guys, thanks for joining us. Come and go to redrainband.com for a lot more information on the band. We'll get to some of that right now. Sammy, we haven't talked to you in a while. I think the last time I remember talking to you, weren't you guys doing a little something with Tesla? Well, back maybe 2018 or 19?
Tom, I'll be right back, man. I got to take care of something. Sorry.
Yeah, Jeff.
Okay. We have been on and off tour with Tesla since 2017.
Yeah.
So, yes. In 2019, I get them all mixed up. Yeah, it was probably 2018, 19 mm-hmm. we were with them. We were with them again in 2020. In February, right before everything shut down, we played February 2020, we had a show with Y&T, which was, I love Y&T, and got to meet Dave Vanacatti. Boy, I love that guy.
One of the most underrated bands of all time.
Absolutely.
Underrated.
And most underrated voice.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah, we were just talking about underrated bands last night. He didn't come up, and he should have, but that's one band. People loved them, but when you're talking about favorite bands, it never comes up in people's mouths. But the minute you go Y&T, people go, wow, they're great. Yes, it's just one of those bands that just never got over the hump, I guess.
I know. And it's and it was just so great to meet him. He was a very gracious guy. So we played a show with him on a Saturday, and we did Tesla tour again. So we played with Tesla in Charleston, South Carolina, Virginia Beach, and then Greensboro. And then the pandemic hit, and then our year was done.
Yeah, so let's talk about it tonight. So you guys got some new stuff, but how did the pandemic help or hurt you guys? Now, obviously, it hurt everybody, and I don't want to mean it in a way of helping, but I talked to a lot of artists.
I know what you're saying.
But a lot of artists said that it gave them a chance to step back, and people, because of the way the music business now, where you're not making money by creating records or creating songs, people will try always in a rush to get out and play. It kind of forced people to step back, listen to themselves, and come up with new stuff. Did it help your band in any way to have a little, let's call it, downtime of traveling and being on the road and concentrating on making or writing new music?
It did. It was instrumental. And again, you're right. To say it helped, it benefited. I say the word benefited, helped. The word...
Either way, it doesn't sound right.
Right, it doesn't sound right. But it benefited it benefited the band that the world had kind of shut down. Now, we all know that it's a horrible reason.
Of course.
And people had passed away, and it's terrible. So I don't want to belittle any of that.
And you're not, but I get the point.
Yeah, I mean, we've been out on the road since 2000. Well, we put a CD out, the EP out back in 2016.
Great.
And we've been living off that. And so... And every time we would go in the room and try to write a song, well, not try, we have plenty of material, but every time we would go in and start the recording process, it's like, well, guess what? We have another show here. And, you know, we take, not that other bands don't, but we take shows very seriously. We literally start our rehearsal for the set 1 month prior to the date we're going to play.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't play anything else. We concentrate on the set. So that just kept popping up. After we were off the road in February, and then the pandemic hit, we actually didn't do anything for 2 months. And then once everybody kind of got the feel of the mask,
mm-hmm.
and we socially distanced, then the writing process really came. We actually, and there's a whole lot going on to this, and we'll touch on this, but I'll tell you sort of that, and then you can ask any questions.
Sure.
We our first producer was David Ivory, who we love. We love David. Before the pandemic, we were moving to a different realm of our music, which mm-hmm. was we were shooting for different outlets, like radio, mm-hmm. other stuff. So we had a whole new team member. And in the process, we're going this time, we're trying a new producer engineer, a gentleman named Chuck Alcadian, who's great as well. And so that's where we came up with the idea to remix Not That Way. So that was remixed for 2020 version, 2021.
Right.
And that's really the prelude to some of the new music that we have coming out. So there's a lot in that, what I just said.
Yeah,
so
no, tell me, is this a new direction? Because it sounds great. I mean, I played the lyric video you sent me, and I got people saying that it's – wow, fucking love it. I mean, you know, what did come out of all of that writing and the downtime? Is it that's either made it different or better, or what's the difference in the band right now? Or is there a difference?
Well, there is no difference. I don't believe there's a difference. what we have done, so we do have a new song that's in the can ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to release it. We had planned releasing it a little earlier, but there are some things that have held us up for releasing it right this moment. But we have one song that's already in the can, ready, everything else. And we now have just demoed 7 new songs that we sent to Chuck, you know, to see, you know, what sort of changes we need to make and all that stuff. So the writing has been going great. We're really excited. The sound may change a little bit. Like, I think David, which, again, David was unbelievable, but the sound was so tight and so right on. This is a, maybe, if you've heard it, then, you know both versions.
Absolutely.
Way.
Yeah.
The new version's a little more, again, I use the word dirtier. It's very open guitars. The drums were brought up in the mix.
Yep.
So I think that's the only change. We're not going to change our writing. We're not going to change the way we do things. We don't think we are, or we don't want to. And so that's going to continue to do that.
Yeah, and I tell you, it's so refreshing because you guys have a style and you stick with it. You know, you don't try to reinvent the wheel. You guys are who you are, and you can tell when you write that it's the same collective group because not that the music all sounds the same, because there's a lot of people out there who write and every song sounds the same, but your style and the substance of your music all comes, you can see, it all comes from a collaborative effort that just resonates through the song. And I love the version. It was amazing to listen to. I listened to about 10 times last night. I just was having such a good time listening to it. I couldn't wait to play it on the show today, and it got such a great reaction. Well, so congrats on that.
I appreciate that. Thank you. And, you know, it's funny, though. I could never understand why bands would put out an album or a CD, and we're not on that platform, but like bigger bands.
Mm-hmm.
Would come out and they would smash it. You know, the album broke records and did this. And then the second album, they teed off on that completely different. I never understood that. And, you know, we always have that running joke, and I know you guys have heard the same thing. Is, if you remember, somebody asked Angus Young.
I was just going to use them,
Yep. How does it feel to make the same album, 14 times? He said, we didn't make the same album 14 times. We made it 15 times. So, why change something that is successful?
I couldn't agree more, and I think AC/DC is the perfect example, because no matter what happens, it's the same sound style of music. Obviously, the songs change. But why change? Like, why do we have, as you KISS, why, one minute you get Detroit Rock City, the next minute you get the Dynasty album. What's the sense of changing who you are to kind of fit the what's going on outside the box from other bands, other genres? So, kudos to you guys. It's been great. But now things are starting to loosen up a little bit. Obviously, I'm seeing people booking concerts. Are you guys, is there any music coming down the line, any concerts coming down the line? I mean, what's coming up for you guys now? More writing? Are you going to be releasing anything in the near future?
I'm cryptic, Tommy.
Yes.
You know this.
I know you're not going to tell me everything. I know you're not going to, but I got to ask. It's my job.
That way you keep asking me to come on the show, because one day you're going to.
One day, Tommy, you know what? This is the week. I'm going to actually tell you something without being, kind of. Around the block. So give me around the block one this time. Go ahead.
So I will tell you, we do have some shows. Listen, let me touch on something back, and then I'll tell you about writing as well. The writing, the way that we do it, and again, other bands might go, whatever. I only speak for what we do. There was two things that when I started a band with Bubblers, we're going to look like a band, we're going to sound like a band. And we're going to do it our way. We're too old not to try to change. And I always tell people, if you're going to write a song for what you think people are going to like, you've already failed. Because if you don't like what you're doing, and you're doing it because you want to be a quote-unquote rock star or make a lot of money, you're 50% in the hole if you do it that way.
I understand.
So we try to do things the way we want to do it. And it doesn't always work. That's number one. To move forward, we are, we've always been sort of a methodical band. I think that we've talked about this.
Sure.
We try to think everything that we do, we try to make the right move. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. As of right now, we have 3 shows and books. One I cannot talk about because we haven't signed the contract yet. That's the only reason. Otherwise, I would tell you.
Okay.
But right now, we're playing July 17th in Roanoke, Virginia with Jackal.
No.
And then we are playing November 6th in Thornburg, Virginia with Quiet Riot. And that that is a show that was moved from last year. We were supposed to do that last year.
Now, let me ask you.
So
now, first of
more
that
we're
good. Now, the Jackal, I saw Jackal live, and while I was never the biggest Jackal fan, I became more of a fan. One of the best live bands I've ever seen. I saw them at a little place up here. Great, great band. Quiet Riot one. Who's actually still in Quiet Riot at this point? Do you know?
So two things. We played with Jackal. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Oh. We played with them 2 years ago in Lynchburg, and yeah, they put on a show.
Oh.
They're worth watching. To my knowledge, as last I heard, Alex Scorsese is still playing guitar.
Mm-hmm.
He's been with them for a while.
Sure.
Chuck Wright,
mm-hmm,
is the bass player and has been the bass player. And Chuck, for those who don't know, was the original bass player on the Mental Health album.
Correct.
And I believe Jizzy Pearl
is still singing. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's right. You'd have to excuse me. I'm sorry. I don't know who's drumming.
Yeah, that's why I asked, because I follow all this news and I haven't heard a lot about Quiet Riot, whether it was going out. I mean, at this point, not with any, I guess you could say Chuck Wright is kind of an original member, but, or at least a longstanding member, but it's a little different. So I'm curious, but listen, that's great for you guys. I think that's terrific. I wish you guys the best on all those shows, and the more the merrier. Get out there and keep playing. I do want to go back 1 second though, on the
sure,
writing and the production. Let me ask you this. So you guys, you know, obviously know who you are. You know what kind of band you are. You know what kind of sound you're looking for. When you get a song and you get it in front of your producer, and he comes back with something, how much leeway do you give him to change? Like, will you guys override him at the very end, or do you kind of step back and say, well, we hired him for this reason. If he wants to bring the drums up a little more, bring down the guitar a little bit, how much leeway do you give him? And at the end of the day, are you going with his version or your version?
Well, that's a great question. So I can answer that in two parts. With David Ivory, the songs that we put on the EP, he never changed our idea of the song. So when we presented the original song, it was like, okay, this is too long. Let's cut here. And we added and we took away. But
right,
we didn't change what we had written. So there's a lot of leeway there. Listen, those guys know more than I. First of all, I'm the drummer. I don't do the writing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But when we were going to David, we all were in the van. When we were doing pre-production, and the first time we ever met him, it was, look, this guy knows way more than we do. Keep an open mind. Let's hear what he's got to say. If you walk in and say, hey, you know what, man, this is our song. You do your little frilly thing. We'll be good. You can't do that because these guys know what they're doing. They know what it is. So that was with David. With Chuck, we haven't really worked intimately like that with Chuck. What he's done so far is he's actually remixed again, not that way. We actually have another remixed version of the Red Rain song, which
mm-hmm
is killer. That was the song we were going to actually remix and redo.
Okay.
So we still have that one in the can, and that one, I mean, you've heard the original version. This the Red Rain version is like 10,000.0.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
It's like
wow,
shooting out of a rocket. So we, when we presented Chuck with the ideas, he was like David. It was like, the song is 90% there, but this is what I would do. So let's go back and try it this way. And listen, you'd be a moron not to try it. Chuck is a very, and like David, very well-known producer.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd be stupid to not listen to him. So we generally do. And at the very end, I think the producer, whether it's Chuck, David, or anybody else in the band, look, we're all on the same page of trying to put out the best product that we can.
Okay, that's a fair statement. And before we let you get to promoting any websites and all that, I got to ask you a little bit of football stuff. I mean, before I let you go, it is the Hard Rockin' Sports Show. So, yeah, exactly. So, you know, there's a lot of things. I say this all the time. The teams have a cycle. You know, usually you get 3, 4, maybe 5 years, and then the turnover of the team. Your team's on that cusp this year. What do you give me some early training camp thoughts going in to the summer and a little bit of a lull for your Vikings. I think it's a team that could go a lot of ways here.
Yeah, I love what they did with the draft. I mean, I think for the first time in a couple years, they actually drafted what they really needed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Darisaw, everything I'm reading about him, he's a beast on the line, which is what they need. They need some nastiness on the offensive line. I mean, listen, the Vikings last year were a very average team,
mm-hmm.
I would say at best.
At best.
But really, in the Tennessee game, they should have won that game. Who else did they lose to? Should have beaten Seattle last year. If they get the 4th-and-1, the game's over. The Vikings win.
Correct.
They were basically a game or two out of the playoffs with what I would consider a mediocre team.
Mm-hmm.
With the additions, with the draft that they did, you know, again, they got Darisaw, Munn, you know,
mm-hmm.
which is great. I like Kirk Cousins. I defend Kirk Cousins. But, you know, the kid from Ohio State, Davis,
yep.
they're saying he shines. So, and then you have Patrick Peterson that came in, you know,
yep.
and then you got Boyd that came in, other safeties. I believe that this could be, even though I think this could be Zimmer's best team so far.
All right. That's a fair. And I think that obviously they need another big year out of Cousins and they need to have a better year offensively. It's an open division. I think Chicago is not a good team. Detroit's Jeff. I know Jeff hates thinks very little of Detroit. Green Bay, with all their hassles right now, with Rodgers. We are Jeff. Yes, and I think with all the hassles going on Rodgers, this could be a wide open division this year.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, but you know the one thing is, I'll say this real quick is, you know Cousins takes a beating. You know,
mm-hmm.
and I commented on somebody's article, you know, in the Super Bowl, you know, we all know how great Patrick Mahomes is. I mean,
yep.
the kid's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But in the Super Bowl, he looked terrible. And why did he look terrible? His offensive line didn't block. He had trouble. He was running backwards. Cousins, for the last 2 to 3 years, hasn't had an offensive line really blocking him. And if you're not dumping the pass off and they're trying to hit him, he doesn't have any time.
Right.
So I think that's a problem. And I think that's, you know, that's the problem. I think this year, I think they finally got it straightened out.
All right. Well, let's listen. Well, hopefully things will heat up a little bit. You'll have some more stuff to announce. And maybe we're during the football season or during the spring training camp, we'll get you back on. But for now, Sammy, tell everybody
yeah.
where they can find the music. Tell everybody where they can keep up with what you're not telling me so far. And let's give out some where to get the music.
Well, you know, we're at redrainband.com. And if you look up Red Rain Band, you'll find us. But we're on Facebook, Red Rain Band. There's videos out there. Spotify is big. We're really making a presence there now. We really focus on that. We had the last 6 months. So any downloadable music site, and I tell everybody every time I do an interview, I say this. Look, you might not like the music. You may love the music. All we ask is you give a chance and give a try. And we think you'll like it because there's a little bit of something for everybody.
I could not agree with you more. I wish you guys the best of luck. I love the band. You know I do. We play the music time to time here on the show whenever it falls into our rotation. But we love what you're doing. I love the new song, the new version, and we look forward to some great stuff coming up. So, Sammy, please don't be a stranger. Tell Stevie and the boys we all said hello, and come back again soon.
I will. I always appreciate talking to you guys. I thank you very much, and I will at least text you when something's coming out so you'll know ahead of time. And anytime you want me to come on, you just let me know.
I will. I promise you, I certainly will do that. In fact, if you're not busy with August 5th, we do our training camp show. We'd love to get some fans of different teams on. If you're sitting around on August 5th, I'm going to reach out to you and get you back on again.
If I don't have a show, I'm on because you know, I love talking Van Halen Vikings. Van Halen's a little more popular than Vikings, but I love it. So thanks for having me on as usual, Tommy and Jeff. It's always great talking to you guys. You guys have a great night.
You too. That's Sammy Lee. He's the drummer for Red Rain. Make sure you check those boys out. Sammy, be good, brother.
See you later.
You too. Thanks a lot.
So Jeff, we did you have a thought process? I checked and it seems the show's there. So I used not to.
Okay. No, I just nobody. The only one that commented tonight was your cousin Rose. Where's our usual? Where's Patrick? Where's
you know,
a whole bunch of different people.
Yeah, listen, they may pop up, they may not. Like I said, I show up here every week, and I assume I'm just talking to me and you, and you know,
if that's done. I want to see if it's on, because I mean, usually there's other people coming on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Like I said, I go to yeah, it's definitely there. So just might be one of those nights where people aren't commenting; they're just kind of listening and watching and all that good stuff. But you know, maybe they're not commenting on the show. But yeah, we are live, and Jeff and I are here hanging out, having some fun, talking sports and talking. I gotta tell you. I know you don't follow a lot of independent bands, all that kind of stuff, Jeff. But I'll tell you, those guys, they got some really good stuff. I mean, I'm talking, you know, they have some really good music. So if you ever get the chance to tune on and listen to some of their stuff, you should. I really do think you would like it. But that's funny.
Well, I mean, I was on when you were playing the video earlier.
Yeah.
To me, it's. I don't know. It sounds. It has an '80s sound to
yeah.
it. Mm-hmm. '80s hair metal sound.
Yep.
But you know, listen. That's not exactly my cup of tea. But
I got
doesn't
you.
Mean that it's not good. And you're right. And these guys should be given a chance because
yep.
why not? You don't know. But you know, Tom, I worry a lot about the state of music, and it's just like. There's nobody coming up. It's almost like there's a void, a bubble forming, an air bubble, and nobody gives a fuck about it. And that's what bothers me.
No, listen, you know? I get your point. And, you know, a couple sad things. Well, one sad thing I'll get to in half a second. But, you know, I do, and I love the guys at RFL, Dougie and John. They're two guys I consider friends. I've never even been in the same room with them. But I consider Doug and John both friends. We talk sports and music, and they let me listen to a lot of their music for their bands, Svengali and Turbo Snake and some of these other guys. And I'm telling you, Jeff, some of it's, you know, it's really good stuff, man. I mean, stuff that if people listen to this in the 80s, it would be no brainer to mix right into what we were listening to back then. And I hope and pray that people start to get a chance to listen to these bands. And I know they're having a big concert for John, I think July the 28th. I'll be on vacation, but I'll do my best to listen in. I think all the RFL bands are going to get together and play some music and do some stuff for their 5-year anniversary. And congratulations to John and everybody. But you know, there is some good music out there. I think it's a matter of people giving it a chance and getting it in front of enough people. I truly, that's the one thing I get to do that I have fun with. I get a lot of bands who send me stuff to listen to. Some of it's not good. I try to be kind about it, but I'll tell you, a lot of it, and the guys from Svengali and Turbo Snake, they really have some great stuff, and a lot of their other bands. I mean, Westlake's got great stuff. I mean, so I'm a little partial because I love those guys, but I understand your point. It is very hard to find music that we like in new form, so I understand what you're saying.
Yeah,
so
I hear you. I had to change my name.
Hold on a second. I haven't looked down. Let me see. Oh, boy. I'm not calling you. I'm not doing it. You're not getting me to say it. So thank God it doesn't show up on the screen because I couldn't deal with it.
Let's see. Maybe I can help there.
Yeah. Do your best. Again, Hard Rock and Sports, Jeff and Tom, every Thursday night, 7 to 9:30, right here on the Hard Rock and Sports Network. We're glad to have you guys aboard here June the 21st, midway through the year. Remember, no show July the 28th, I think that is, or 29th. July 29th, I'll be in Florida for the week, so we'll take a week off, and we'll come back the following Thursday night and just jam it down your throat, total football show. Jeff, the show will start to take a change. I mean, people don't realize it, but I think you and I do. And come, when you get that first practice of football, our show transforms. It's almost like the awakening of a butterfly. You know, it's just, you know, we've been in hibernation. We're there. You can see us. But all of a sudden, pop, we become a different show at Hard Rock and Sports. No?
You couldn't come up with a better analogy than a butterfly?
Well, it was coming off the top of my head, Jeff. What do you want me to use? Transform to what? Zombie?
Funny butterfly story.
Right, now you're going to make fun of my analogy and you're going to tell me a butterfly story?
Yes and no.
Oh, my God. God.
So I had to work in Palm Breeze and Park.
I saw your picture.
Okay. And what happened was there was a complaint that the people couldn't get a nice view of Manhattan. So we had to go there and chop up some of the weeds. And I don't know if you remember much about Von Breezen, but there's a cliff, like literally a cliff.
Sure, the very, very top flat is, you go out and all of a sudden straight down.
Yeah, okay. So we sent a guy, I mean, not me. I went to go take a leak on one part. And I was afraid I was going to go down. And it's a long way down.
And it's a long way down.
And this was on a slope, and then it just goes off. So anyway, we're cutting this shit, and my boss turns around. He's like, "Whoa, you see these plants right here?" So it's like, "Yeah, it was a bunch of it." He goes, "That's milkweed." He goes, "It's endangered." He goes, "You guys can't be cutting over here. We've got to be very careful. Gotta leave these plants alone." So I'm like, "Why?" Well, they're endangered, and the monarch butterfly feeds off these plants. So I'm like, "Okay, I never knew this." So it was actually kind of interesting. Not really, but okay. So in other words, the monarch butterfly flies up from Mexico every year up north and then turns around and flies back the same route it took up here and goes back down to Mexico, right?
Okay.
So I tell the guy, my boss leaves, so now I'm in charge of the job, and I tell this one guy I'm going to let him loose there. I was like, "Look, let me show you what not to cut." Because first I asked him, I said, "Do you remember what he said not to cut?" "Yeah, I remember." "All right, well, let me go show you anyway." So I go show him. I show him. I says, "Don't cut this." I says, "And you can come close." I says, "But don't get too close." I says, "Then just abandon ship." "Okay, no problem, no problem." So I walk away, and we're talking about some other stuff, me and the guys that are there. And all of a sudden I look, and I'm like, that area looks kind of empty from here. Let me go over and see what's going on. So he ended up obliterating all of the milkweed. I'm sorry, right. Not ragweed. So I said, "What the fuck did you do?" I said, "You cut it all down." And he's like, "I did not, because he comes from Arkansas, but he's a good guy." And I'm like, "What the fuck?" I said, "He's going to bug out. If he sees this, he's going to wig out. This is, and these butterflies are going to starve to death." I'm like, "Can't have this." So he's like, "Oh." So there was three more plants, and we pointed them out to him, and we're like, "Listen, don't weed whack those down. What do you think he does?"
We whacked them down.
"Of course. All right, no problem. I'll go around them." Yep. Just brap, brap, right down. So then we see them, and we're like, "Dude, what the fuck? Like, you obliterated every plant at this site. They're endangered plants. They feed the butterflies." "You're killing an ecosystem here, you know what I mean?" So he goes home last night, and he's telling his wife in front of his two kids what he did. How he was cutting all of this brush down and everything else, and now he cut these plants down that these butterflies eat. So his six-year-old daughter turns around and says, "Daddy, did you cut down all the milkweed on the butterflies?" His daughter knew what it was.
Come on.
I swear to God. Because she did a project for school about the butterflies. And then he was like, "Oh, my God." He goes, "I felt so bad." I goes, "I didn't know what to say or do." And
I got to ask the question. Did he do it on purpose?
I don't think so.
So, I mean, you physically walked over and you say, "Don't touch these weeds." And then you walk away and he cut the weeds down, not once, but twice. I mean, got to be some sort of maliciousness to it, or he's completely retarded.
I'm going with option B, yes. And I'm not going to say completely retarded, but he swims in the heavy seas of retardation. How's that?
He's swimming upstream.
Yeah, upstream. Yeah.
He's trying to swim.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah. This motherfucker is going upstream against the tide.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Well,
he's losing.
Yes, I was going to say. He's sinking fast. Okay. Well, let's hope he doesn't get in trouble, and I hope the monarch butterflies survive their migration to Staten Island's Von Breezen Park, a park I know all too well.
He's got going for him is my boss has the attention span of one of those monarch butterflies. And if you tell him something, as he's listening to it, he's forgetting about it.
Oh, boy. You know, I'll tell you, growing up next to the park like I did, Paul Gill and I used to hang up in that park. As did all my friends. But we used to go up on the top and go over that fence. And yes, there were certain spots where you could kind of go down about maybe 10 or 15 feet, and there'd be like I don't call it a ledge, but a landing where you could kind of stop. But we would never go there because we were told as kids that there were devil worshippers that hung out on the side of the mount, on the side of that cliff and at the bottom. And if you went down there and they caught you, you would get sacrificed. And well, we believed it, obviously, because we never went down there.
Well, I know that we were on one particular spot where I had to use the facilities.
Right.
All the way, not the fort side, but all the way on the other side, the private property side. And there was a path that goes down along the fence line.
Correct.
And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, holy shit. Like, it's just like, it's like this.
Mm-hmm.
Like this, that if, God forbid, it was wet, you're just going down.
Yep.
And then it just goes down, and then like this, like flat, like so you would have whee, right into the fucking water and land on the rocks. And I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, listen, not to get into specifics about things, but in my job, they're worried about all of these different things and falls and hazards and all this other shit.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, there's a gate that blocks it off. That you could jump over, that's one thing. And the gate itself was open. There was no lock on it, no chain, no nothing. Anybody could have just walked over and just fucking fell off that. That's it. They've been gone.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's that fence has been jumpable since I was a kid. So
yeah.
I haven't been up there in quite a few years. It's gotta be 20 years, maybe a little less since the last time I was at the top of Umbreason Park. So
you wanna hear a funny one then?
Sure.
I don't know if you remember this. This is how long ago this was. Remember kid Ernie that I brought down to Joey's? He was playing in a band. We were rehearsing in the backyard, and I met this kid when I went up to Lake George with my mother and father.
No, stop ringing the bell.
Okay, you don't remember him and his friend came, and they were singing their song? And
oh, yes.
Crossfire.
Yes, I do, Ness. I can't picture them, but I do remember that, yes.
Yes, okay. So I met this kid up in Lake George, and he had a sister with him.
Okay.
His sister's name, I'll never forget, his sister's name was Rose. So he tells me that his sister likes me. So I didn't know what I was doing. Okay. Probably still don't.
I was going to say, I'm not sure I still do. I do now. So go ahead.
So I got the number, and I called up, and she answered the phone. Okay. And I got the number for Ernie, really. So I got her. So I'm talking to her.
Uh-huh.
And I tell her we were supposed to have a party in Von Breezen Park.
Okay.
Okay, we were going to have a picnic. We were going to bring a table, and we were going to hang out and all this other stuff up there. So I invited her to go to the party.
How old were you at this small point? Are you driving?
14, 15.
Okay.
So I invited her to come because he tells me that his sister likes me. So she says, okay, she's going to come. So I'm hanging out and I'm getting nervous because now it's getting closer to the date. So I was like, I can't do this. I can't do this. I was going to have this girl take the train from wherever the fuck it is she lived, meet her at the train station, and then walk up to Von Breezen Park from there.
Uh-huh.
So I lied to her and I told her that we weren't having the barbecue anymore or the picnic or whatever.
Right.
And then proceeded to tell her how much fun we were going to have at the barbecue, at the picnic, that she wasn't no longer invited to. And then, like, after I hung out with her, I was just like, oh.
So you told her there was no barbecue, but we were going to have a great time at the barbecue.
Yeah, exactly, pretty much, yeah. Yeah, so who knows? Strange things happen in life. Who knows? Maybe, you know, if I married this chick, I'd be president of the United States, or maybe a crackhead. I don't know.
That's very possible.
One thing's for sure. Maybe after she got let down as easy as I let her down and proceeded to tell her how great it was going to be without her there, maybe she's the crackhead at this point. I don't know.
Did you ever hear from her again after that?
No, I can't say that I heard from anybody again after that.
Wow. Yeah. Interesting.
Jeff on the way.
And they were Staten Island people?
Yes.
Okay. Wow, yes. Interesting story. Your you weren't very smooth back then, I can see.
No, smooth as gravy.
Yes, you're smooth as rock. Yeah, I gotcha. But yeah, unless he's smooth now, he's Jeff. He's the bearded one, and we got a lot of talk. We got a lot to get to still tonight. I'm gonna try to pick a couple topics and get moving. Maybe we'll do a little.
Real quick, I wanted to tell you just because it was so cool. The Million Dollar Man's last match in the WWE was an old-time battle royale.
Oh, really?
Yes. And the last man standing was IRS, Erwin Schweitzer, Erwin R. Schweitzer.
Who was really?
Mike Rotundo.
Yes.
Okay. So all of a sudden you hear the Million Dollar Man's music, and he comes out laughing, holding on to the suit like this. And he walks into the ring, and he's fanning out all of these $100 bills. So he goes over to the Million Dollar Man. Of course, you can't hear what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, like, pointing at him, like, tapping him in the chest. And then he taps the money. So the IRS opens up his briefcase, and the Million Dollar Man takes the money and puts it in the briefcase.
Uh-huh.
And the Million Dollar Man eliminates himself over the rope. And not the Million Dollar, IRS. Eliminated himself over the rope, leaving the Million Dollar Man as the winner of the Battle Royale, and he's standing there, like, just laughing, his belly laugh. You got to look it up.
I'm going to look it up.
Just knowing, first of all, you'll see some of the guys that were in it, and then just knowing that it was Ted DiBiase mm-hmm. and the way they did it, it was actually pretty cool. It was funny, but it was cool. It brought a smile to me.
That's funny. It's funny. I'm just looking it up right now, Mike Rotundo. Mike Rotundo was married to Barry Windham's sister, who is the daughter of Black Jack Mulligan. I don't know if you remember Black Jack Mulligan. And let's see. And Bo, let's see. They have two sons, Windham and Taylor, who are professional wrestlers. One of them is Bo Dallas. You're familiar with Bo Dallas?
No.
Yeah, so, but yeah.
One is Bray Wyatt.
That's it?
Just released.
Yes.
By the WWE.
Yes. And it's funny because I was watching, again, a lot of these different shows. And who was it? Somebody was Andre the Giant, I think, was dating Cowboy Bob Orton's sister. They said it was his friend. But every picture, she was sitting on his lap and this and that. So it's really part of these things that I just Googled Mike Rotundo to see, you know, because I thought there was a story of him being part of, you know, being with somebody, and he was married to, or is married to, Barry Windham's sister.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
If your sister, and I know your situation is a little different, if your sister is going out with Andre the Giant, you turn around and ask, I got to ask.
No, I can't.
Is Andre the Giant,
kind
of like that round?
Yeah, you kind of got to ask the question. No, I mean, it's probably the one thing I've never heard one way or the other, and I'm thankful for it. But, you know, it's kind of an interesting let's not even go that way.
Yeah, you got to ask, like, is like Andre sporting the 10th wonder of the world? Like, what does it look like?
Is Andre the giant, or is it no?
Yeah.
You seem
to walk okay.
Yeah, he didn't seem to have a problem. But and they do talk about that last match in here with Ted DiBiase. So I will look that up tonight when the show's over.
What are they about IRS?
Yeah, about him going over the top and all that stuff. So yeah, I did just touch on it briefly. But
you know, I never liked Ted DiBiase.
No, me either.
But if you watch that, you're gonna turn around and you're gonna have a whole new outlook for these old-time wrestlers.
Well, you know, he's also got a doc, you know, like in the same vein as the Sheiks, and he's got a documentary too, and it involves his son and all that. It's one I haven't really had a chance to watch yet, which I will do one of these days. So, but yeah, I'll definitely look that up for sure. No doubt about it. I'll look forward to seeing that. But
yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, so let's do some other stuff. Islanders, I know you're not watching a lot of hockey. I've been kind of watching a little more than I expect. But Islanders had a huge win. They had a big loss the other night, 8-0 to the Tampa Bay. They went into game six with the chance to be eliminated at home, and had a great win last night. So if you guys are hockey fans, game seven tomorrow night, Islanders in Tampa. Tampa's in a little bit of trouble. They lost their best player. And they have, you know, some self-doubt right now. They were up 2-1 going to the third period and wound up losing 3-2 in overtime. So great hockey game. Tonight, Montreal plays the Vegas. The Golden Knights. That would have a chance to close them out. So we could theoretically have an Islanders-Montreal Stanley Cup Finals, which would be cool to see. But it is good hockey either way. And nothing better than playoff hockey, Jeff. I got to tell you. Nothing better.
You know, Tom, it's a shame because I'm telling you, the things that I used to know about hockey,
mm-hmm.
Gordie Howe didn't fucking know. I knew so much about it. It was unbelievable, dude. It was unreal. And all because they went on strike, it was like a race in a computer.
Yeah.
I got everything.
No, listen, dude, I'm with you. I was a huge hockey fan. I would tell you that I've probably after 99, yeah, maybe 98, 99, I kind of started putting it in the rearview mirror and stopped watching. So I'll tell you that I feel the same way as you. I just recently got back into it a little bit. Don't follow the game as much as I do, but it's playoff hockey. The Islanders are a big team in it. And, it was fun to watch the game. And I suggest if anybody wants to watch a good hockey game tomorrow night, turn on the Islander game and enjoy it. And let's see what kind of finals we get. Then we maybe start next week. So good there. The Nets got beat in their game 7, lost to the Bucks. Lots of stuff I could tell you about that. I'll tell you that Giannis is the most overrated player in the league. Tremendous athlete, but a terrible, terrible offensive machine. They cannot shoot. But I'm glad the Nets lost, Jeff. Now, here's why. I am so against this net team. They're very unlikable. Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant. While Durant and James Harden are team like decent guys, Kyrie Irving is just not a likable guy. And I couldn't root harder for them to lose. And I'm glad they did. I don't like this whole thing. We're going to decide where we're going to play, and we're going to decide who we want to coach us. You know, shut the fuck up and play basketball. And I dislike it, and I'm glad they lost.
You know, it's once again, the owner's letting this happen.
Yeah, you're 100% right. Yeah.
It is a shame. It's a real shame, but it is what it is.
So, again, that series is going on. I think the Atlanta series got off last night. Atlanta and the Bucks got their game 1, and Trae Young, who I despise, dropped 48 in a shocking win. This Atlanta team, you know, might be a team of destiny. They beat the Knicks. They weren't supposed to. They went out and beat Philly, who they certainly weren't supposed to. And Philly's got a lot of problems now. Ben Simmons is maybe on the block. We'll see. But now they have their next round up against Milwaukee. I don't know how much of this I'll watch going forward, but I'll keep an eye on it for you guys if you want to know anything about it. So we talked about basketball. I want to talk a little baseball. Let's see. Yeah. Jeff, are you paying attention to all this spin rate and inspections? Are you paying attention to any of it?
No.
Well, you know, it goes to the thing of, you know, the biggest unwritten rule, or let's say the biggest code break in baseball has been the spitball, the doctoring of baseballs. We've talked about it in the past. It's been going on forever. Guys spitting on the ball or cutting the ball, whatever. And it was always kind of like, we know it's outlawed, but it was with a wink, wink, wink. You know, Gaylord Perry's in the Hall of Fame was famous for throwing spitballs. And the Negro brothers got, you know, just tons of guys. Whitey Ford admitted to cutting the baseball. But so the last few years, it seems like baseball turned the blind eye to a bunch of players putting a substance on the ball to get a better grip. And to get the better grip, their spin rate, or how much the ball spins and moves, was greatly enhanced, so to speak.
I remember we were talking about it. These guys throw the ball so fast. If you give him, a little extra grip on the ball, so be it, because maybe it prevents them from fucking knocking somebody's head off their shoulders.
Well, that's been a big topic. People say that, and I don't disagree with that. Now, they've banned it. Now I've heard guys they use sweat and the rosin bag, and all sorts of crazy. But now, baseball this year, Jeff, and even the part of last year, has been so bad. You know, I picked up some stats in 10 games so far this year. There's been 10 games of 30 or more strikeouts in a game. Yeah. Now 2014. there was only 13 games for the entire year. We're not even halfway through the season. We've got 10 games already. In 2019, there were 32 games that had 30 or more strikeouts in a game. Jeff, there are 54 outs in a game, okay, 27 out. In fact, probably it could be 24 if the home team doesn't bat. So I think actually you could have less than that. But let's say in a regular Major League Baseball game, this year alone, you've already had 10. In 2019, you had 32 games with the teams combined for 30 strikeouts of 50-something outs. That's disgusting. So Major League Baseball has been trying now to combat the lack of offense. And you know how I feel. I think the lack of offense in baseball is strictly based on attitude and situational hitting for the players. Players are up there 0-2 swinging from their heels. You know, bases loaded and you need a fly ball. They're trying to hit the ball 350 feet. So baseball, instead of trying to teach the game in a better way or even trying to push their teams that way, they want to change the game. So the first thing they did, Jeff, is they said, okay, in the middle of the season, you're not allowed to put anything on your hands or on your body to, even though it doesn't affect the ball all that much, in any way, we don't want you to have that. I think that's wrong to do it in the middle of the season. I think that should be done something at the beginning of a season with some notice, but they went ahead and did it. Now, Jeff, they're actually going out there between innings and checking the pitchers.
Yeah, I saw that. That just makes no sense to me.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, so Mag, I think it was Scherzer the other night, got checked three times, twice by the umpires, you know, and the third time. Now, Max Scherzer is a Hall of Famer. Max Scherzer is a guy who's going to play, he's going to be in the Hall of Famer, who's going to pitch well no matter what he has on his hands or doesn't have on his hands. I would say at this point, if you check Max Scherzer once, I don't think he's going to do anything after that. But the third time, Joe Girardi, who was the manager of the Phillies, told the umpires he wanted them checked because he kept touching his hair and going to the ball. And it turned into a whole – he was going to take his pants off, Scherzer, in the middle of the field. And, you know, here's my thing. First off, you should not be taking advice from the other manager on disrupting the pitcher and getting in his head. And two, you know, if you've got a clear sign that something happened, you know, get him in the dugout between the innings and talk to him. But don't embarrass the guy in the field or slow the game down even more than it is.
Well, this is why nobody wants to watch baseball as it is.
Yeah.
And it's why it's a sport that's possibly dying. Okay? When you're talking about the 30 outs between two teams, 30 strikeouts.
Yep.
And the lack of offense. First of all, it's because everybody's trying to make the offense by putting the ball over the fence.
Absolutely, 100%.
They're swinging extra hard at stuff, and how many may just be swinging at anything? Because, like, two pitches came outside. This one's got to be coming over the inside of the plate, and I'm going to take it. And they try, and they miss. But, you know, I mean, just as an example, it's just let them play. Just let them fucking play. The sport will always evolve. Sports evolves. Because once they say, okay, this is how we're going to try to hit home runs, then another team's going to be like, well, everybody's built for stopping them from hitting home runs. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're going to become a singles hitting team. And if we hit a home run, great. If not, we're going to just push the guy over. And eventually this sport will change back around.
You said it, you're 100% right. I mean, it's sports in general is a revolution. Just comes back around and things, you know, are out and then back in a new. But I see that Major League Baseball is trying to fix it. And I read an article today. And first of all, I don't think baseball should get involved at all, because the only way you're going to fix the game is to reteach the players how to play the game and have coaches who push them to situational hit. And I can't get past that term, because I think that's all this is people need to learn how to hit based on the situation. But there are some things they are trying to change, Jeff, and I'll throw a few at you. One of the fixes they want to do, they want to move the mound back 1 foot and give
I don't understand that.
Yeah, they feel like giving them the, I think it's like 1/100th of a second more to analyze the pitch and hit it. Why? You know what? Learn to hit the ball and don't worry about it. I mean, moving the mound back, I don't like the changes to the game. The other one, the next one was making like a bigger base. So that way the base, the runner who will be out, you know, so many more, you know, watch it now. It seems like they're out just by a fraction of a second. That little bit bigger of a base gets more runners on base. Do either one of these fixes make any sense to you?
Not moving it about. Neither one, really. You know what? I could see putting on the base, maybe put a sensor.
Okay.
If the, well, the runner gets the base, it lights up or something or whatever. You know, something stupid.
Well, you know what?
So we could be like, okay, here's the ball. The base lit up, you know, if it's that close. You know what I mean?
No, I got your point. But and you make – it's great because it segues into my next one is that a lot of people, the Major League Baseball wants to put robot umpires, especially for balls and strikes. And I don't like it. To me, the game is played by humans, and they make mistakes. And I think an integral part of the game is an umpire, and sometimes they get the call wrong.
Well, yes, but you know something? If you were to put in, and I don't agree with it, but if you were to put in a mechanical umpire, okay,
yeah,
and
yeah,
it measures out a strike zone, then it's going to keep that strike zone universal for every hitter. So
okay,
if you're 5'4", you're going to have the same strike zone as the guy who's 6'4".
Which shouldn't be.
And vice versa.
Which shouldn't be.
Yeah, I hear you. But you know what? They're not going to change it just because here comes 5'7". The shortstop, he's 5'7", but now he's the right fielder who's 6'3". It's not going to be changed for that. That's the strike zone. That's the strike zone.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is. It's when it works against you, or it goes against you, then it's bad. When it works for you, then it's good. So,
of course, but Jeff, you know, the game's played by humans. I mean, I think some of the biggest events in all of sports involve bad calls. I mean, we've seen games changed by a call. I mean, you can go back to Derek Jeter and the Jeffrey Mayer game. You know, do the Yankees win that series if they lose that game? If that homer doesn't happen. I mean, there's so many that you can go to, but I think the charm of sports is that it's played, coached, owned, umpired by human beings, and there's always the possibility of something going wrong, and I think that's part of the game.
Yeah, it's. I understand your point, but, you know, there's also a lot of people, a lot of money running on this now.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of times when you watch certain sports,
yep,
and all of a sudden the call goes the wrong way, or like, oh, they blew a call, and you know, there's a lot of money involved. You don't know who's bugging out and wigging out and everything else, because their money is the one that just, you know, that's it, it's gone. So I think that it also has to do with the gambling aspect of the sport. You also have football and all of the fucking you know, the gambling that's involved with football. You're going to want that shit to be, you know, make maximum money. So you got to have to be 100% right. And, you know, everything is going to count, you know, everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's as much as I understand what you're saying, I think sooner or later, it's just going to happen somehow. There's going to be outside help, artificial intelligence help.
Yeah. I can't argue with you on that, Jeff. I don't think that you're wrong, for sure. I definitely don't think you're wrong. I just...